Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. So glad that you're joining us today. It's a special program. Of course, it's always special when Dr. Sherry Keffer is with us in the house. Sherry, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited about our guest today. Drum roll.
We have a foremost expert, plus maybe one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. Really glad to have him with us. He's written a book, Preparing to Blend. And I've already got my first question for him. He's been on before. You love him. I mean, he really is the foremost expert on blended families. And he isn't from a blended family. He doesn't have a blended family. But God called him to this. And man, is this ever an important book. And I'll tell you why in just a second. But everybody, welcome Ron Deal into this studio. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Steve, and it's a joy to be on with you and with Sherry. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're back, and this is an amazingly needed and helpful book. And I'm not going to ask you this question. I'm going to say it because I really think it's true. Most of the people that are blending their family, that are bringing two families together, most of them, here it comes, it's a really bad idea. And the reason I say that is, well, the statistics show that so many of them don't stay together. And the ones that do stay together are miserable. And you've got a book that can turn a bad idea into a really good idea because you're challenging and encouraging and providing a way for people to do the work that makes a bad idea a really good idea that everybody can benefit from if it's, you know, biblically sound. So with that, Ron, tell us about Preparing to Blend. What's one of the greatest things about this book that you love about this book?
Well, you know, Steve, if somebody was going to go out and go for a little hike, you might put on a good pair of shoes and get a bottle of water, and you could just take off and go. But if you decided you're going to climb El Capitan in Yosemite, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're going on a serious mountain climb, you might want to plan the trip. You might want to actually know which side of the mountain do we go up, and what are we going to encounter if we go this way, and how long is it going to take? It's going to take a number of days or a week. Okay, we got to have food. We got to have water. We got to have, you know, all kinds of supplies for what if this happens or what if that happens. I think you're right. I think too many people just walk right into, and the irony is, if you're creating a blended family, for many people, not everyone, but for many people, it's a second marriage.
Yeah.
You've sort of already done this before, and yet still walk in naive to the process, and just not looking far enough down the road. It doesn't mean necessarily that you shouldn't do it. It just means you're not prepared for the journey.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do here with Preparing to Blend.
Well, you've done a great job, and this may shock people, but I have a football analogy because I rarely use one. But, you know, the great coach doesn't have the plan and let's go out and do it. The great coach says, here's our plan, let's go do it. But if this doesn't work, if they score first or whatever, here's what we're going to do. Here's plan B, and it's going to be even better than plan A. And so, believe that you're going to have this great thing. And when it doesn't turn out to be instantly, easily great, what are you going to do? That's here in this book. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to talk to us today, Ron Deal, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. It's an historic day, first football analogy I've ever used on radio in 30 years, and we've got Ron Deal, Dr. Sherry Keffer, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and great, wonderful guest. We're talking about this book, and it really is such a neat book, Preparing to Blend. And if you want to join us, you can, 1-800-229-3000. But before we do that, Ron, let's just talk about some of the things that a person, it would really be helpful before you blend a family. It'd really be helpful if you do a couple of things. What are some of the things that help people the most before they jump in and believe that, oh, all these kids are just going to love moving into a house that they've never lived in, not having a room to themselves anymore. They're just going to love it when the kids are all thinking it's a hostage situation. It's a horrible takeover of the dream. What do we need to do?
Well, you just alluded to it. Here's the first thing I want them to know. Coupleness does not necessarily equal familyness. If there is a core message in this book, it is that coupleness does not necessarily equal familyness. In other words, you can fall in love with a person and have a new partner, a friend, a companion, and your coupleness is a wonderful thing. But the journey to becoming a family, and that includes children and in-laws and former in-laws, and if you have an ex-spouse co-parenting and that whole dynamic, multiple households, multiple adults, parenting children, that's familyness. And it's far more complicated, and it requires more time and energy and effort. And, you know, I would have the same message to a couple who's listening as I would have to a pastor who's listening right now who does premarital counseling. If all you're doing is helping couples get ready to be a couple, you're not preparing them to be a blended family. They have to know what's coming around familyness.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do in this book. This is right. Not your typical premarital guide that just helps a couple be more in love with each other. It also invites them to include their children in preparing to get married.
Ron, now, you bring up such a good point, because a lot of times in that premarital or getting to know you phase of a relationship, the loss that the children have experienced isn't even on the radar. Right, because some of them have, they've all gone through the divorce, right, with the one parent. Some of them have gone through a remarriage with one of the spouses. So now they have a separate home for that spouse and their wife or husband. And then the second partner may be getting remarried. And there's just so much loss and hurt and differences that they're trying to adjust to that even aren't even being spoken about. And I love that you are a voice for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really two chapters in this book that Sherry talk specifically about loss and more unwanted loss and helping to anticipate that on behalf of kids so that the loss isn't blindsiding everybody after the wedding, that people have actually thought about it and planned for it, and the hearts of the parent has moved towards their children in the midst of that so that they can have conversation around it. Because you're exactly right. Many times the couple has sort of glossed over that for the children. Like maybe you're aware of it at one season, but now your vision of what your new marriage could be and new family could be sort of puts the children in the background, and you don't quite fully anticipate what loss is going to be like for them, what the new family is going to be like for them.
Right.
And so I want to help the couple look to that and also help the children get ready.
All right, let's go to our phones. Let's talk to Katya. She is calling us all the way from Cleveland, Ohio. And hi there. Thanks for joining us today. You're on with Sherry, Ron, and Steve. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, thank you for taking my phone call. So I got remarried 2 months ago, and I brought three teenagers, and my husband has four kids. And I have 100% custody of my kids, but my husband, he shares 50-50. Mm-hmm. And that dynamic, you know, it's not even like relationally that threw us off, but like this instability that it's always, you know, just like when we have them for 5 days and there's this one dynamic and then they leave and then we have to regroup yet again.
Yeah.
So if you have any advice on that topic, we would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, Katya, quick question here. I'm wondering, what did you guys do to prepare for putting the two families together?
Well, we did read your book for once, and then we, I mean, obviously we've talked a lot and, you know, we plan, but some of it, it's like it's only when you're kind of thrown in and start doing it, you can see some things that would be triggers and some things that are huge mountains, you know?
Yeah. Okay, and just before I let Ron turn Ron loose on that, the issue of what you do now, because that's really a complicated thing. Did you ever think about talking to somebody, a counselor, about it? Or, and if not, what stood in your way of that?
I mean, we didn't really specifically, I mean, we had premarital counseling as it would focus on be ready to be a family of, you know, nine and a blended family. But, like, I think it was almost kind of assumed that this would work. And like I said, relationally, like we're all, you know, getting along really well and working for things maturely, but just the dynamics, like practically, it seems to at least me, it throws me off a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ron, what do you think here? Really unique, maybe not so unique, pretty common that there is different custody and times, and they go and they come and they have to regroup.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that's fairly common for many families. They have nine, so that adds numbers of people to it, which adds some more complexity. You know, one of the ways to think about a newly formed blended family is you're a collection of smaller families. And on one level, some people don't like hearing that because it implies that somehow you're not a family. Well, I'm not meaning to say that at all. It's just simply, look, there's some relationships that are more bonded and connected and have more history and more rhythm and more harmony than the newer relationships. And so for your family, it's sort of like you have the times when it's you and your husband and your children, and mm-hmm. because his children are at the other house. And then there's other moments where it's a larger family. There's more people that are in the space. And you have more people to consider and more people sitting at the table literally and figuratively to try to figure out schedules and those kinds of things. And so
yes.
it might be helpful if you think of yourself as like a family of this and a family of this, and on occasion it's just this group of people. And that gets chaotic because now you're trying to figure out, okay, then what are the schedules and who does what around the house when these people are here versus when those people are here. But it might just help you find some freedom to create some good solutions to parenting, to assigning chores and tasks, and, you know, figuring out the rhythm of how you spend time together with children. It's also okay to think of your husband and his kids as one mini family, one M-I-N-I, mini family, and you and your kids as a mini family. But you're embedded in this dynamic where there's other people who come to the table. And so on occasion, your husband and his kids might hang out like they used to do before you all got married. Mm-hmm. And you and your kids might hang out a little bit before everybody joined the family. But there are other times when you're being very intentional to bring the different step-siblings, for example, together around an activity they all enjoy. You know, you'll begin to ebb and flow and find out what works for the step-siblings and what doesn't work. And nobody really can tell you what's going to work. You have to sort of discover that on your own. But breaking the family into parts, knowing that over time those parts are eventually going to move closer to one another.
You know, the thing about schedules and responsibilities, I really like that. I think, you know, the other kids come back, here's the schedule and the responsibilities. They go away, here's the schedule and the responsibility for that, so that you've got structure both ways, and also to talk about the fact when the other kids go away for a while, we understand the rules are different over there. They might be more lenient or that whatever, but this is what we found to make this work the best. We want to hear your input, but we're not going to adjust this so it looks just like the other place that you go. Sherry, you have a thought there.
I do. Hey, Katya, are you someone who generally thrives on structure and things kind of being in their place? Like if I was to go...
If I was to go
to your house and open up the cupboard, you know, the pantry, you have it really organized. And your drawers, the linen closet, is organized. And those are things that are just naturally a part of your temperament, kind of how you roll. So here we've added 8 people to your world. And 3 of them have kind of been used to your structure and used to how you have things so organized. But in and of itself, Katya, there can be an internal challenge. Right on top of the external challenge, that there can be an internal challenge on having to renegotiate one word that many of us try to work very hard to try to attain. And you know what that is? Control.
Hmm. There you go.
And so when we are transitioning into this family that Ron is talking about, it's almost like we have to change our paradigm, that control is not something that we do like our pantry or our linen closet. We have to be able to transition to somewhat of a messy stage where things are not going to fall into line, and you're going to need to kind of talk yourself off that control cliff into more a season of acceptance and change. Because you will find, like Ron said, you're going to find your flow, but it's going to take you a while. And if you can have a different way of seeing it in that you're doing self-care and what you can control personally, baths, organizing things that make you feel good, but then you've got to open things up to realize that things are going to be messy or maybe out of control for a while. And that's going to grow you in a way that you haven't been stretched before.
How does that feel? What do you think about what Sherry's saying there?
No, it's for sure. That resonates with me for sure.
Okay.
I'm wondering if there is a particular relationship that you're worried about most.
To be honest, all the kids are in, but like Sherry said, you know, if I have food in my fridge, I would plan it for so many people. But then, you know, sometimes, you know, if their mother doesn't want them and we end up with, you know, all kids, then like I have to regroup, like, okay, we am cooking for 9 tonight. And, you know, things like that. But I think the huge blessing is that relationally, we are all, you know, getting used to each other, and we're working through, we're communicating for sure. So that part, like I would rather struggle and work through practical stuff than, you know, maybe relational conflict.
Let me just say this, my dear, and I love you being so honest and real with us. Let me tell you this. They're not going to remember what they ate. They're going to remember how it felt to be with you. And to be with you at the family table, and to be with you when you're making dinner. If the control part of you gets hyper-focused and there's tenseness and you're edgy and they can pick up on it, they're going to pull away. But if you can just think, they're not going to remember what we ate and whether it was cooked to perfection or not. They're going to remember how I felt when I was with them. Big difference.
All right. I want you to have a copy. Did you say you've read this book or you haven't read it?
Not this one.
Mm-mm. Not this. Okay. Well, let me send it to you. And it is a good one, Preparing to Blend. When we come back, we'll talk about some growth activities that are in this book. And I want to talk to you about the big question of respect and how both parents are going to approach the issue of the other children respecting me. We'll do that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. By the way, October 2nd, we have a parenting seminar that we're doing, preparing your kids for teens. We'd love for you to join that. You can find out at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and our special guest, Ron Deal. He's been on many times. We love Ron, and he's always got good content in the book, on the books that he writes. This one is especially, I think it's the most important one that he's ever done. And it's really important that we prepare, and here's a great book to do that. Before we go, before I ask him a couple of things here, I want to be sure that everybody knows October 2nd, Fearless Parenting Workshop. It's online. People like Jim Burns are joining us. It's going to be a great time. And just like you need to prepare to be a blended family, you need to prepare for one of these kids to be a teenager or two or three, because it's not easy. And all the things that you think would work, maybe they don't. Ron, I want to talk to you about these growth things that you have in here, that you put some ways that people can, some activities that they can do that will help them grow. Talk about those a little bit.
Well, you know, a lot of books, I've written a number of them, and you have too. We communicate a lot of information. Sometimes the best thing to do is to take that information and actually do something with it, to put it into practice. And I think this premarital engagement is a season where that can be very useful for a family. I don't want in this book to just give people ideas. I want to actually help increase their momentum in relationships as they move toward familyness, even before the wedding. So we created what we call growing activities in this book. So in a given chapter, it'll talk about a concept like expectations, for example. But then it's going to invite the couple to actually do something, to actually have a structured conversation around their expectations. And many of the activities involve their children. So it's something they take and they go to their kids and they sit down and they work through it. Or it's an activity they're going to go and do something together. And in the process, they're going to engage in a conversation that's going to help open up the children. My belief is it gives children a voice. And that's important because they have oftentimes been the recipients of other people's choices, and they have to deal with it. Those are the losses that Sherry was talking about earlier. But now we need to give them a voice to speak into how life moves forward from here, and it moves the heart of a parent toward their children and children towards their parent, all of which is that sort of attachment reassurance is necessary before you walk into a wedding, a new marriage. The caller we just had, for example, is a good illustration of this. Her three children have had her exclusively for some period of time as a single parent. Right. And now they are sharing their mom with their stepdad and his four children, five other people. Now that requires some adjustment. Even on the best of terms, and her relationship with her children, that's going to require a lot of change in their relationships. We want to help them anticipate that change and get ahead of it so it doesn't sabotage the family they're trying to build.
All right, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number if you want to join us here, 1-800-229-3000. Sherry, you had something I want to talk about.
I do. And you know what? I love, Ron, how you have this very practical session or activities, growth activities in your book, because so many of us don't know what to do. It's not that we're not smart people. We just don't have the creativity or the ideas. So you made that easy. And I love how you said that it helps kids find their voice. Can you address what families can do in preparation, or even like Katya, where kids, before they get to that verbal place, they don't have a voice, but their body has a voice. Their personhood has a voice. You might notice some regression. You might see that child isn't getting up at the time they normally got up. You might see that they were successful in maybe getting dressed in the morning by themselves, and now they're more needy, and they're not doing that task like they used to. I've seen a ton of regression as this transition is happening. Can you talk about that pre-voice state and how they can be aware or look for it and what to do about it?
I think a great way for parents to think about this is movement. If you feel your children moving toward you, toward the idea of the new family, toward this person you're dating or engaged to, you feel them moving toward, well, that tends to show an openness and a willingness yes, there's room in my heart for new people. But if you feel them closing off or turning away, that movement is telling you something. Now, Sherry, you pointed out, this is a great illustration or a great point, that kids communicate in a lot of different ways, and we should just have our ears open and our eyes open to see what their body is saying to us. But here's the catch. So many people at that point, let's just do a quick illustration. You've fallen in love with this person, and you've got a vision, and you got a plan, and you got a wedding date, and you're moving forward. All pistons are firing. And then you see that child kind of turn away. You see them get smaller rather than opening up and getting larger. And you're saying, what does that tell me? Well, there's something going on in them, and somehow this is not bringing joy to their life. You know what? We just need to sell it a little bit harder. I just need to get in there and say to my kid, look, it'll be all right. This person's going to be a great step-parent in your world. You're going to have fun with your new step-sibling. And parents go into a sales job rather than listening.
Wow.
Rather than slowing down and just saying, let me start inquiring, trying to get my child to talk and share with me what they're experiencing, because if I don't hear that, I can't make good decisions for all of us moving forward.
Because sometimes they're jealous. Sometimes they're scared. Sometimes they're worried, right?
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back after this message and more with Ron Deal on Preparing to Blend. I want to talk about the title I would have for the book, Preparing to Bend, because you're going to have to be flexible. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And so, Ron, I said that I would name the book Preparing to Bend, because if you're not flexible, there should be there's no blend without the bend. But here's the thing that I want to talk to you about. I've always said that a woman should run. If she's about to blend the family and she hears the man say, well, them kids better respect me, and you better tell them they got to respect me because I'm the head of this household. Now, to me, respect, more than anything, has to be earned by the parent that is the step parent. And if you aren't going into it to earn the respect, I mean, that is a horrible scenario for those kids.
You know, it's funny, if you threw somebody into a classroom and said, you're the substitute teacher for the day, you would sort of know your place. You know, you're the teacher.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell them to sit down and be quiet. You know, you can say, hey, this is what we're doing, chapter 5, let's open up your books and get started. But as soon as you walk out of that room and the children walk out of that room, you would also know there are limits to your role.
Yeah.
You don't walk into their personal life. You don't ask questions about values and beliefs and all kinds of things that, you know, their boyfriend, girlfriend, preference, you know, all that stuff is like, oh, well, that's not what a substitute does. So you would expect some respect appropriate to the authority that you are given.
Yeah.
It's when you begin to say, I'm going to demand respect above the authority I've been given and above the authority I've earned. Now we got problems more often than not. At least one of the kids is probably going to push back. And think about that. You know, just the imagery of it. Pushing back is not moving toward. It's increasing distance between us rather than decreasing distance. And isn't that what blending is all about? It's coming together. So you inadvertently make it harder, not just for you and that one child, but for the whole family to move toward one another.
Yep. And I've always said that what a child does is a lot less important than what you do in response to what the child does.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's
like
right.
you were saying, you know, you try to do the sales job. That's not the right response. And when there is disrespect, that is, boy, is that ever a siren that goes off that both parents ought to be sitting down saying, wow, this is a symptom. Let's look at what it's a symptom of. Let's try to get to the heart of it. Well, Ron, let me just mention again, the book is Preparing to Blend, and so many people don't prepare, but it's Ron Deal's latest book, Preparing to Blend, and we'll come back to this. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. I want to go to him, but if you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. Larry, here you are, and you've got something for us. What are you going to share today?
Well, Steve, this is a little different. Usually I have a testimony to read, and instead I have a testimony to tell you about a phone call I had yesterday.
Okay.
You know, people will call, and we ask people, if you need help with finding out any way or anything you need to do to remember us in your estate plans, let us know. We can give them our employer ID number. We can refer them to making sure they get legal counsel and such. Well, this lady calls. And or she indicated that, and I called her, and she said, well, 1993, I spent 3 weeks in a New Life clinic, and I'm only here today because you guys saved my life.
Hmm.
And we want to remember you. Our kids are getting older, and we got to redo our will, and we're going to remember New Life in it. We don't have a lot of money. She said, we're not millionaires. But yeah, I wouldn't even be on this planet right now if it wasn't for New Life and what you guys did for us.
What a powerful story.
And I just want to maybe prompt some thinking in folks. I know there's a lot of people that have told us you've saved our life and our life is forever different and never changed. And one of the ways that you can give is just remembering us in your will and your estate plans when that time comes. When people call and ask for information, I'm not asking how much are you going to give or what is this and how big is your estate. I'll just help you answer questions. I'm not digging for information. So feel safe and feel easy to make a call and indicate you're interested.
Well, it's such a great story. And, you know, back in 93, we had about 32 Christ-centered treatment programs in secular hospitals. And really, I remember one of the doctors of a different faith saying, I think it's a disgrace that the best unit that we have here at our facility is the Christian unit. And, of course, I was smiling big. It was at a medical staff meeting that I happened to attend, and he didn't know I was there. So we do all of the stuff we used to do there. That's what we do on our weekends now. Because everything changed, and you can't really get that kind of treatment. And so all of the people that we get to meet now that were helped then, I'm looking forward to meeting the folks we're helping now in 10 years and them saying some of the same things. But that's what all of the support to New Life has gone to. It's just literally keeping people, as she said, keeping people on the planet, first of all. And then secondly, helping them enjoy this life here on the planet.
Yeah, other thing is just if you're not even of the mindset or the ability to think about a will and estate plan, we could use any type of a ongoing gift, whether it's Club New Life, a single gift in the mail, credit card, however you want to give. Those resources go to helping people stay on this planet and have a better life. So thank you for giving, everybody.
All right, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We will send you a way of saying thank you. We could send you either Dr. Dave Stoop's last book, which is a really great one, Living Well, Finishing Strong. Or if you'd rather have this book, we can send that to you also. It's Preparing to Blend, and as I said, Preparing to Bend, it really helps you to be flexible. Either one of those I'll send to you is our way of saying thanks. And thank you, Larry, for sharing that with us. I want to go back to Ron now. And Ron, here's the most important thing maybe we could cover on the program, and that would be this. So somebody's together, they've been together 3 years, 5 years, and it's a mess. What is the best thing that they can do, because they didn't prepare? What can they do to fix it? What's the repair versus the prepare?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's helpful if you start getting some information about step family living. A lot of people discover when they start reading or studying, listen to our Family Life Blended podcast or what have you, wow, there's some things we could tweak. Oh, we were going left, we should have gone right, and we just didn't understand why. That can make some change. But I do think if you're really in a pinch, I'm an advocate for therapy. And Steve, you didn't know this, but I'll just say it. I've started training therapists who want to be equipped specifically to help step families. And we have a network now at smartstepfamilies.com where people can go and find a counselor in their area or somebody who works virtually and find somebody who has done their homework to be able to help people from a Christian, Christ-centered perspective in step family therapy. And training is ongoing. If a therapist hears this and they want to find out more how they can be a part of that, they can just go to the website, smartstepfamilies.com.
And the cool thing is COVID kind of got us into some virtual counseling and coaching and things like that, and you can explore that. Maybe they don't live next door to you, but you can always explore that. It's so, so very important. And, Ron, what percentage of people in the church are in a blended family? What is that percentage? Are the marriages that are remarriages and blended?
Yeah, we don't have any good hard data on church. We do know that in general, in the secular world or across the United States, 40% of families raising children are blended families. But that doesn't really begin to cover it. Let me give you another stat. Let me give you two more, okay? Just to give you some perspective. Of all couples under the age of 55 or below, now, my wife and I would be included in that. I am 55 years of age, okay?
Okay.
If either Nan or me, if Nan or I had a step-parent, or either one of us had a step-child, 62% of couples, 55 or below, have either a step-parent or a step-child connected to their marital union. Now, think about that for a minute. 62%.
Yeah.
That is a huge percentage of people in our country. One more stat. We're talking about getting ready to get married and forming a blended family. Most people assume there's a divorce and now a remarriage or the death of a spouse and now a second marriage. But did you know 15% of first marriages form blended families? First marriages.
And one of the ironic things is if we did a marriage seminar and we had 100 people, if it was a seminar on blended families, well, you'd think you'd have 60 people versus 100. But it seems like you'd only have about 15. People don't want to deal with the reality of this. I don't know if it's stigma, shame, whatever. But it's really sad because I got to tell you, the blended family, so much potential. But there's so much hurt and pain there so often. And this book, Preparing to Blend, can help that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Ron Deal, his book is called Preparing to Blend. And what you want is to prepare to blend so that you can prepared a band. You want a band of spiritual crusaders in the same family, encouraging each other, pulling for each other. That's really what we want as an outcome of putting two families together. And it can be a great thing, but if we don't prepare, it's not. And this is, I think it's the best thing you could possibly pick up other than one of my books. Prepare, no, I'm kidding. This is the best one, Preparing to Blend. This is the one to get anybody that's going to have a blended family. Kind of be foolish not to find at least this book as a resource to help you before you do it.
I wanted to just build on something you just said, Steve. You know, from my experience, I do genograms, which is a way of doing history with people.
Right.
And they're adults, but we're drawing their family growing up. And this is what I find, Ron and Steve, about step-parents. They're not neutral. I mean, from the perspective of the adult, they fall into one of three categories. The step-parent was a person that they felt loved by. The step-parent was a person that they felt tolerated them. Or the step-parent was a person that harmed them.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, not preparing or not dealing with your own issues can trigger you when you're taking care of kids.
Yeah, no question.
Yep.
I got a caller here I want to go to real quick after you respond to that, Ron. Anything you want to say to that?
Well, I just want to say that we built a genogram right into the book. There is now a digital genogram, and it's built right into the book where the first thing the couple's going to do is they're going to go to this website, they're going to enter some information, and what Sherry was just talking about is going to be right there in front of them, and they get to use that all the way through as they work through the book and look at life through the eyes of their children and the perspective of other people who are going to be connected to their family. Yeah, it's very insightful. Very insightful.
Good.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, you're calling from Oregon there. How could we help? What are you thinking about today?
Well, I am just wondering how to discipline when I am not the biological parent in the family. And I recognize that this is an issue of control, because I feel absolutely out of control. I have no control because they're not my kids, and I just want to know how to maybe to process through that lack of control and do the right thing. Just having a hard time with staying hands off.
Yeah. All right. Ron, what do you think? Great question.
Great question. Yeah.
Yes, it is a great question. Tom, how old are your stepchildren, and how long have you been married and in their life?
I've been married for 10 years. When I got, when it came into my life, they were 7, 9, and 11.
Okay. All right. So you've been with them a while. That's important. Somebody who's just getting started obviously has a very different posture with the kids.
Sometimes the difficulty was I had a very, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Finish that statement.
I was saying the difficulty was in you know, really in the early years, but even now, I in the early years, I had no input. Their dad was very, very involved in their lives, and so it was just hard. And the question is, how do I deal with this lack of control?
Okay, well, let's think about it from two angles. One is, you know, even in the beginning, what ushers a step-parent into a child's life is the biological parent. They develop a relationship with you through their mother. And if she is, even now, looking for ways to bring you more and more into the picture, then maybe you feel less out of control just because you're having some input. It might be behind closed doors input, but at least you're having some influence into decisions or how you go about handling some things. At this point in their life, my guess is they're not looking necessarily for someone to be an authority in their life, but they do need a mentor as they enter young adulthood. They absolutely could benefit from that if they're open to you serving in that way. And so moving through your wife is a way to maybe increase the level of influence you have, not control, but influence. Yeah. The other side of this is reminiscent of what, I want to go back to what Sherry said earlier, just your internal experience of just feeling like an outsider and feeling like I don't get a say here. I just don't have a voice. And how do you deal with that? And obviously that's triggering some pain in you and some, it means more than just not being in control. Maybe it means you don't feel important to your wife, mm-hmm. to the kids, the unfulfilled. Yeah. And so that's the hard thing is grieving what you hoped for and has not really come about. And that's hard. And that's mm-hmm. something that I think, you know, it might serve you well to have a really good, trusted friend or maybe even a counselor who can just help you deal with the grieving aspects of that. Because you want to keep that grief and that pain from getting in the way of you being able to move toward the children in ways that they are open to. Like if they want a mentor or one of them does, like you have an opportunity there. But if you have a lot of pain, it will keep you from stepping into that mentor role. So it is a both and, dealing with that internal experience as well as how you then move toward them externally.
Well, what you've done here is you've provided some guidelines on discipline. You should never put a family together until you've dealt with this issue. And my opinion has always been that the birth parent needs to be the disciplinarian when you come together. They're the ones that spent the most time with them. They know their heart and all of that. Then if you're on a mission to earn the love and respect of those kids that you've brought in, your stepchildren, then once that happens, you can become more involved. But just to step in the first thing that they experience of you is some kind of discipline, it's just not going to go well. All right, Ron, I got about 60 seconds for you. Tell somebody who's struggling that's already in the blended family how this, even though it's on preparation, how this could help the family that's already together.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just kind of got started off on the wrong foot. Like you were mm-hmm. just talking about that example. Let's say as a step parent, you're listening and you're going, oh, wow, I thought I did need to step in and be the dad or be the mom. And now I can see that's unraveled some things. And, ooh, I need to back up. I don't know what to do next. Well, now you're searching for what's the change you can implement and make. We've got a very robust chapter on parenting in this book because it is such a critical issue in blended families. So maybe that's a place to start. And you find a way to step back and start over and apologize perhaps and begin to repair. And then maybe relationships have a chance of moving forward towards the kind of family that you had hoped for in the beginning. So if you got to start off on the right foot, find a way to step back, start over. Always the couple has to group together and move together. Like find unity as husband and wife. And then make changes and walk that out together.
I think one of the most powerful things you can ever do with your kids is to say, hey, I need to talk to you because we kind of made some mistakes here when we put this together.
Yes, I agree.
And we need a do-over. And here's some things that I feel like maybe we could have done better, and we're going to do everything we can to do them better. And this book can be a guide to the do-over. Ron Deal is the author, Preparing to Blend. It's the couple's guide to becoming a smart stepfamily that stays together and has meaning and purpose and reflects, magnifies Christ in the relationship. If you need some help, if you want a copy, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and support us. God bless
Thanks
you.
For
See
listening.
You next time.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.